I want you to turn with me to the book of Philippians tonight, if you would. Book of Philippians, we'll really tonight, just a thought that we want to give you here. We have a meeting, as I said, just after the service. In speaking about that, just quickly, we will try to have that meeting in here. But since we're doing that, we need some help with the young people. We can't, you know, so it's not a distraction. I'm running in and out. We need some folks to help. We'll talk more about that after the message tonight. But we'll work something out there. But we'll meet in here. There's no air conditioning over there. Plus, that room's getting too small, which is a good thing. Chapter 2, and I want to start looking just at one verse tonight, really a short verse, but we'll look at some other scripture, and it just encompasses what I want to talk to you about tonight. In verse number 14 of Philippians chapter 2, you there with me? Say amen. The Bible says here, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you so much for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for wonderful day you've given us already. Thank you for how you've worked in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the music, the singing, Lord, for your word. And just, Lord, just the camaraderie of fellowship and all that's involved, Lord, in meeting in your house. What a blessed thing it is. We just pray tonight you'd help us. I pray, Lord, that you'd bind the powers of Satan once again, that he would not get an advantage on the service. And, Lord, we'd ask you to have your free reign. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Out west, there was a cowboy was driving down a dirt road. And his dog was riding in the back of his pickup truck as he's headed down this dirt road. He has his faithful horse and the trailer behind him. He's pulling the trailer, of course, with his truck there. And he failed to properly negotiate a curve that was coming up. And because he did, he had a terrible accident. Wrecked the truck, wrecked the trailer, and that just really one big conglomeration of metal. It was a mess. Sometime later, a highway patrolman pulled up and came on the scene. He, being an animal lover, he saw the horse first. Realizing the horse's serious nature, nature of its injuries, realizing how bad the horse was hurt, he drew his service revolver out of its holster, and he put the animal out of its misery and shot the horse. And got it out of its pain. The deputy walks around the accident and finally finds the dog there, also hurting, also critically injured. He couldn't bear to hear the dog as it was whining out in pain, and so he ended the dog's suffering as well. Finally, the sheriff's deputy or state trooper, he located the cowboy who also had suffered multiple fractures. He's off in the weeds, and finally he finds him there, and he says, "Hey, are you okay?" Cowboy took one look at his smoking revolver, and in the trooper's hand, he quickly replied to him, "I've never felt better in all my life." Now, if that were you or I in typical circumstantial day, I wonder how long I'd last and how long you would last. Because the fact of the matter is, we like to complain, don't we? We like to grumble and whine and that kind of thing sometimes. In our text tonight, Paul is talking about living the Christian life. In fact, if you notice verse number 12, he tells us there, work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. He tells us that with fear and trembling. Now, understand, don't get this twisted up as a lot of people who want to pervert Scripture do. He doesn't say work for your salvation. It's not what he says. He says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, practice it in our life. We need to practice what we preach. If we say we're saved, we need to live like we're saved and work out, because you are saved, there's a certain way we ought to live, a certain way that we ought to act. And so he goes on to tell us and encourage us, if you'll notice, that it's God that worketh in us. He says in verse number 13, it's God which worketh in you. He says, tells us to work out our own salvation. Aren't you glad God didn't just leave it up to us? He goes on and he says in verse number 13, it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do. Now, thank the Lord that he wills some things in our life. But I'm glad what he wills, he also does. So, it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So it's in that context of living the Christian life that he says what we just read to you in verse number 14, do all things without murmuring and disputing. I want to preach for the next few moments on this thought. A Christian life excludes carnal lips. A Christian life excludes carnal lips. In our text tonight, Paul gives us some great advice regarding our Christian life and sometimes our carnal lips. Here is a great text of Christian living. It's a great text about how we're to work out our own salvation. But Paul gives us three things here, I believe, I want you to see tonight about murmurings and about disputings. First, notice he's told us that there's some things that are forbidden in our Christian life. And so, first of all, I want to ask, what is it that's forbidden? What is forbidden? First, notice he says again in verse number 14, do all things, watch this, without murmurings. Murmurings. Now, most of you probably know, hopefully you know, that murmuring is complaining. It's especially plaining, and it especially speaks of complaining behind somebody's back. It's the same thing as backbiting. In other words, a murmurer, somebody who's a grumbler, nothing's ever right. Listen, discontent typically and many times breeds murmuring. Somebody's got something that you don't have, or things are going well for them and they're not going very well for you. I've noticed a lot of times when hard times come up in people's life, they get critical and they begin to murmur and they begin to point out things in other people's life. And that just discontentment in our life, it makes us sometimes get to that point of murmuring and complaining. As a result of that discontentment, we begin to murmur. We begin to find fault. Some people, everybody and anybody in any kind of position is evil. If they have any kind of authoritative position, it doesn't matter what it is, they're evil automatically. You know, you've met those people that, well, they're just, we're under their thumb and it's us against the man and that kind of thing. Discontentment. Those folks typically, they've never ran anything in their entire life, but they've got all the answers and they can tell you how things could be so much better. Now, I want to say tonight, as I'm preaching this, honestly, I don't know why. I don't know anybody murmuring. I don't know anybody complaining. You may. I mean, I'm sure we all do under our breath on certain things, but we're not aiming anything. I don't know anything going on. I'm just what God gave us, so it's what we're going to preach tonight. And I believe there's some great truths in this passage of Scripture. The Bible says they're murmurers. Now, I want you to hold your place here. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Look with me at verse number 10. There's a great warning here to us given by, of course, the Apostle Paul again and given the church at Corinth, and I believe also giving to you and I. We'll make sure that that's seen as well here as we look at this. But look with me at chapter number 10, verse number 10. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured. Now the them is the Israelites, okay? As some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them, watch this, for in samples, and they are written for our, that's you and I, admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so, in other words, watch this now. He tells us in verse number 10, he says, neither murmur as some of them murmured and were destroyed. And then he makes it clear, I'm writing this for your sake. So don't say, well, yeah, they were destroyed. That was for them. No, he said, this is for you. It's for your ensample. Now watch this. Wherefore, verse number 12, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. This is really peculiar, and you let this unfold and read this. And then he says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way. Now, if you back up, you'll find out, of course, he's talking about several things. He's talking about idolatry. He's talking about committing fornication. But lumped with all of that, he talks to us here about murmuring. And when he talks to us about murmuring, he tells us here, he says that I'm writing this about the people that they did these things before, they were destroyed. I'm telling you this for your examples and for your admonition. And he goes on, he says, watch this. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand, remember the context, murmuring, take heed lest he fall. Well, preacher, I'll just tell you right now, I might have a problem in some areas, but that's one area that I'm doing pretty good in. Understand the context. We use that verse a lot. The context is idolatry. The context is fornication, but it's also murmuring. And he says, let them that thinketh they stand take heed lest they fall. In fact, the last thing he mentioned was murmuring. And then he goes on and he says this, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Listen, murmuring, he tells us, first of all, murmuring and complaining, it's not going to bring God's blessing, but instead, it's going to bring God's judgment. He warns us. He says, I'm telling you this is what happened to them, and it's for your admonition. That's why I'm telling you this. But then in verse number 13, he says, there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God's faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You know, in my own life, I know without a doubt that there's been some complaining go on and there's been some disputing go on for one reason only, because I allowed it, because I listened to it, because I gave an ear to it. It's peculiar to me. The Bible says that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. He says he'll make a way of escape. I could have got out of that. I didn't have to listen to that, but because I did, it allowed somebody to murmur, it allowed somebody to dispute and those kinds of things. Paul said, "What's this? Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Now that word without, it speaks of isolation. Do it without murmurings, do it without disputings. In other words, Paul's saying that as children of God, we should be isolated from murmurings. We should be apart and separated from disputings. There's no place in the Christian life for murmuring and complaining. Can I say this to you tonight? Christ, our example, never complained about. He never murmured about. He never disputed against the mission to come to this earth and to save us. In fact, let me read to you what Isaiah 53:7 says. He was oppressed and afflicted. Watch this. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearer, she is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Now, after all he's done for us, can't we simply serve him without murmuring and disputing? The guy that Blarney Castle in Ireland, he was explaining to a group of people how that some visitors, sometimes his job isn't that pleasant, sometimes he has visitors, it's not very pleasant, and he told them about a group of disgruntled tourists that had came through and he had taken to the castle earlier that week. He said, I tell you, these people were complaining about everything. He said they didn't like the weather, they didn't like the food, they didn't like their hotel. They didn't like the accommodations. They did not like the prices. They, in fact, said they didn't like top it off. So we arrived at the castle, and when they found out that the area around it was marked off, and so they couldn't get right up there to the castle and to the rock. And when they seen that, man, he said there was one lady, said she was the main fault finder in the group. She said, well, I'll tell you what, I've just about have it, has it, this does it. She said, I've come all this way, and now I can't even kiss the Blarney Stone. The guy looked at her. He said, well, he said, you know, according to legend, if you kiss someone who's kissed the stone, it's the same as kissing the stone itself. She looked at him. She says, and I suppose that you've kissed the stone. The guy looked at her, and he said, ma'am, he said, I'll tell you what. He says, I've done even a whole lot better than that. I've sat on it. What a good way to shut somebody up. Murmurers can always find something bad about their situation. Warren Wiersbe says this. He said, murmuring was the favorite indoor sport of the Israelites. It was the favorite indoor sport of the Israelites. Mark Twain said, don't complain and talk about all your problems. He said, 80% of people don't care. The other 20% think you deserve them. First of all, what is forbidden? Murmurings. And then he goes on and he says to us in verse number 14, back in our text of Philippians chapter number 2, do all things without murmurings, watch this, and disputings. Now, I hope most of you know disputings means arguing. It's fussing and fighting and quarreling. And you've met some of these people. You might be one of these people. Some people will argue with a brick wall. I'm telling you, they'll argue with anything and about anything. If you say the sky's blue, they're going to tell you it's green. And if they have to agree on it, it's blue, it's going to be light blue. Because they're going to argue with you. You know, the Bible says, whenever possible, live peaceably with all men. I'll just be honest. I'm not going to go around fussing, fighting, arguing all the time, and tore up all the time. You know, life's too short for that. And there's a whole lot more important things. You know, one of the amazing things to me, and it's just what I'm talking about amongst ourselves as Christians. I'm talking about among husbands and wives. I'm talking about among kinfolk and friends and all those kinds of things. It's just life's too short to be art. Most of the time what I found through counseling folks and talking to folks, it's funny, you know, they've been mad at somebody for 6 months or a year or 10 years, how long it is. If you ask them, they're honest with you, they don't have any idea what they're angry about. They don't have any idea what the argument was about. There are some people, they're going to dispute anything you say. They're going to dispute anything you do, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what you try, they're going to be against it. Now listen, I want to tell you something. There's a sect of these people in fundamentalism. I've met some of them. Are you against? Yes, I am. They're against everything. Doesn't matter. I'm telling you, there are people sitting in almost every independent Baptist church who are the same way. They hadn't seen the sun in months, and any cloud they see, they're going to let that one cloud blot out all the sun. They're going to let that one cloud cause it to be a rainy day to them, at least. You know, it's funny, and it's like this anytime, no matter what it is, I don't like rain. You know, that's fine. Thank the Lord for it, and I praise the Lord, and I guess I'm complaining right now. But, you know, I don't like rain. Lord, I just felt it when I said that. I just felt it. He got me. But you know, I don't mind the snow. I just don't like the rain. But every time it rains, especially something going on, we had the baby thing the other day, reveal thing, and I'm looking out, and I'm looking, and I'm thinking, well, man, it looks good over there. And look, honestly speaking, I look outside and I don't look for that one cloud, man. I look for the sun. Well, it's nice over there. Maybe this will pass through quick. And man, I'm talking about when you look at, don't just let one cloud ruin the whole day. But some people, it's just doom and gloom. Everything is doom and gloom. They got a chip on their shoulder. And they can't get along with anybody. You've met those people. The Bible tells us whenever possible. That's why, you know, there's a reason that he said whenever possible, live peaceably with all men. Sometimes it's not possible. But whenever it is, but now, if it's not possible because you're a jerk, that's not the right reason, okay? But whenever possible, live peaceably with all men. Don't get pulled into some argument, disagreement with somebody like that. It's got a chip on their shoulder. It's two men who lived in a small village. They got into just a terrible fight and dispute. They just couldn't resolve. So they decided they'd go talk to the town chief and the guy over everything. The first man went to the chief's home, and he goes and he says, told his version of what happened. When he finished, the chief said to him, he says, you know, he says, you're absolutely right. Second man came to him the second night, and he called him, come to his house, and he heard that side of the story, and he looked at the man, and he said, you know, sir, you're absolutely right. Well, after that, his wife came out on the porch and she scolded her husband. She says, let me tell you something. She said, you've listened to two different sides of the stories and they were completely different. And you told both of them they were absolutely right. She says, listen, that's impossible. They can't both be absolutely right. To which he turned to his wife and he said, you're absolutely right. It's hard to argue with somebody like that. You know, the old saying, it takes two to tango. Takes two people to have a conflict. Don't be that person that just gets pulled into something like that. What is forbidden? Murmuring, disputing. Notice the second thing, where it is forbidden. Notice the verse again, verse number 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputing. Can I say to you, there's no exemption for this kind of behavior. In other words, there's no place, whether you're at church, whether you're at home, whether you're at school, whether you're at your neighbor's house, no matter where you are, he says, do all things. It's forbidden everywhere, murmurings and disputing. Sometimes, we're all one way at church or one way at work or one way here, one way there. But it's funny how I've watched people. I'm serious. I've seen them two different places, and maybe at work they've got their buddies or they've got things. Everything's okay there for now anyway. But they come into church, they're mad. So mad. I'm talking about no place. He said all things without murmurings or disputing. Listen, these people that are always just mad at everything and murmuring and disputing, they're not a pleasant person to be around. They always just breed negativity, have negative thoughts. It's almost like, it's almost like it's a sin to be cheerful. I mean, they're mad because you're happy. You ever met, I've met people, you know what I do? I get more happy. Hey, when I see people and I see it just agitates them that I'm having a good time. It agitates them that I'm happy and I'm just not mad at the world. And, I said before, you've heard, I'm Independent Baptist, but I'm not mad about it. Some people think you got to be mad if you're Independent Baptist. You got to have that sour look on your face like you just ate a lemon. Or you need to go to the bathroom or something. Resolve to be the kind of person that's positive. And that positive and cheerful vibe, let me tell you something, it draws people to you. You're like a breath of fresh air when they get around you, no matter how their day's going, no matter what's going on in their life, no matter what's going on in their church, no matter what's going on down at their workhouse, doesn't matter what the case is, you stay positive and you bring some composure to the situation, and I'm telling you something, you're going to find out people want to be around you. Some people just add insult to injury. Whether you realize it or not, when people walk away from somebody, it's always negative, that's always critical, that's always complaining, two main things happen. Number one, the first thing that they think, I wonder what they say about me. The second thing that happens is they walk away and they feel all yucky. They walk away and they just feel like, they just feel horrible. I want people to feel encouraged and refreshed when they leave my presence. I've been around people where all I wanted to do is go and crawl in a hole somewhere and slip my wrist or crawl in a hole somewhere and hit myself in the head with a hammer. I'm talking about just get away from them and it's like, good night. Just feel awful. Just negative. Listen to what Proverbs 16:24 says. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. I'm going to tell you something. It is a hindrance to your health to be around people like that. It really is. They will zap and drain any kind of life and spirit you have inside your body because they don't have any in theirs. And they'll zap whatever you have. See what is forbidden. We see where it is forbidden. Notice the third thing, why it is forbidden. He says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Now here, I want to give you four things quickly. Why God's word advises us against murmuring, advises us against disputing, advises us against complaining and against arguing. First of all, it's not productive. It's not productive. Did you know murmuring and disputing never improved one single situation ever? The Israelites never solved any problems through their murmuring. Never helped them in any way. It's never solved anything. Can I say to you this? More churches have split and there's been more problems and more harm has been done over arguing, I'm talking about, than any false doctrine, than any immorality, than anything else that's ever went on in the church. Arguing and complaining has killed more than any of that. No problems are ever solved by murmuring and complaining. Can I say to you, all it ever does is make things worse. All it ever does is make people angry. All it ever does is build discontentment. One of the things that I despise about drama is all it does is kill momentum. It really does. Drama just kills momentum. If you really understood like what happens to me when I get into some drama or I absolutely can't stand drama. When I had the mortgage company, 100% it was 100% forbidden. We had the mortgage. Now I tell us, listen, if there's an issue for something we can pray with you about, there's something you need to talk to me about, if it's a lady, come talk to me and my wife, whatever it is, hey, we'll help you. No problem. But it's not going to be an office situation. I worked in an office for a time before I opened my own mortgage company, and man, I mean, it was one thing after another, and this lady is getting a divorce, and her husband's doing this, and that, and the whole, it was, a lot of y'all know what I'm talking about. You work in some of these places, and it was a whole company-wide thing. I hate drama. Can't stand drama. It kills momentum. It's not productive. Let me tell you something. Nothing was getting done either, because everybody caught up in the drama. Read to you a poem I ran across. It says, a horse can't pull while kicking. This fact we merely mention. And he can't kick while pulling, which is our chief contention. Let's imitate the good old horse and lead a life that's fitting. Just pull an honest load, and then there'll be no time for kicking. And somebody said, when we're busy rowing the boat, we don't have time to rock the boat. If we just stay busy doing what God wants us to do, I know some people think, well, preacher, man, we do a lot, we stay busy. I'll give you time to argue. I'm not talking about constructive criticism. There is sometimes constructive criticism, no doubt about it. There's nothing wrong with critiquing something in order to make it better. But I've said to you many times, don't come and say, well, preacher, this is wrong, that's wrong. You better, hey, have an answer how we're going to make it better. Provide a solution. We may not do it, but at least be that you've thought about it. Instead, you just want to sit and complain. Well, this is wrong or that's wrong. Provide a solution then. There's nothing wrong with constructive criticism, but murmuring, disputing, complaining, arguing, that kind of, that's not constructive criticism. God hates it, and so do I. Most critics care nothing about making things better. They just want to complain, just want to stir things up. So first of all, it's not productive. Notice the second thing. It's not perceptive. You know, when you murmur and complain, it affects our vision. No doubt about it. When everybody's called up and focused on what happens is you begin not see well. All of a sudden, all the focus is on whatever the dispute's about. It's on that thing instead of being on the future plans, instead of being on the future goals, instead of being on what God wants for us and where it has us to go. It kills the deception of a church. Kills the deception of a home. Excuse me, perception of a home. Kills the perception of wherever it is that you may be. We become pessimistic when we ought to be optimistic. We see these little problems and we begin to make mountains out of molehills and those kinds of things. And I'm simply saying it kills our vision and our perception. Everybody becomes focused on that one thing that really is not a thing at all. I'll give you a third thing. It's not private. Why? Should we do all things without murmurings and disputings? It's not private. You see, no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. What you say and what you do rubs off on others. Can I tell you, Mom? Can I tell you, Dad? If you're a complainer and that's all your children ever hear, guess what they're going to be? It rubs off on others. Hey, listen, church member, you're with somebody, you have Sunday school class with them, you're in the choir with them, you're on the bus with them, whatever it may be. If all they hear is complaining, and well, guess what? It rubs off on people. It's not a private thing. What we do, no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. Listen, that's never been more true than when it comes to murmuring and complaining. Murmuring and complaining, it's contagious. Oh, listen, it spreads like wildfire. I have watched it firsthand. It's very contagious. If you hang around people who have a negative view of life, it's going to affect you. It's going to make you a sour person unless you get away from that. I make it a point and have for years to hang out with positive people. I'll be with myself or I'll be with a bunch of negativity. You know? I mean, griping and complaining is contagious. You hang around somebody like that, before you know it, you're going to be bitten by that bug. Listen to me, I'm telling you, I've watched it firsthand. You're going to become critical, and you can't be satisfied nowhere with anything because you got that critical spirit. You got that murmuring, complaining, got to complain about something. It's a generational thing. Here comes Junior up right behind Mom and Daddy, and he's the same way. It's not productive. It's not perceptive. It's not private. It's not pretty. Look with me at verse number 15. Now he says in 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Watch this now. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. The world is already good at pointing out all of our faults and coming up with excuses and reasons not to serve God and why they shouldn't be a Christian. I mentioned a man this morning. Many of you know people that's their excuse, because some other Christians hurt them, or they've not lived. They've lived in hypocrisy, or whatever the case is. God help the Christian who lives in such a way that gives the world ammunition to use as an excuse. I think about what the Lord said to David when he sinned with Bathsheba. Oh, David, here you're supposed to be this great leader and this man of God, and you're the sweet psalmist of Israel, and now look what you've done. You know what the Lord said? He said, you've given the enemy great occasion to blaspheme. God help the person that gives the world ammunition because of how we act, because of our speech and how we complain, how we murmur, how we backbite, how we argue and go on with one another. He says here, do it all without murmurs and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Listen, as Christians, we got to have a testimony that gives the lost no cause for criticism. Nobody's perfect. But I'm saying we need to live our lives in such a way where we're not giving them ammunition. And Paul says here, a big part of that has to do with our attitude. It has to do with our speech. Can't be fussing and arguing all the time. We can't go around complaining about our church, complaining about our pastor, complaining about our members, complaining about our Sunday school teacher, or whatever the case is. Some of you have heard it, and I'll guarantee you I hear it literally on a weekly basis. I'll be somewhere eating lunch by my little self, or maybe somebody else, whatever it is, and I'm telling you, I'm sitting there, and as somebody pops in the pew behind, or the row behind me, or the chair across, you know, some people, they know how to have an inside voice. I know I'm loud when I preach, but I can just talk to somebody across the table. But anyway, you can hear everything they're saying. Well, you know, brother so-and-so, Susie Flopjaw's there, you know, every time. She's every place I ever go. I'm telling you, and a lot of times you figure out where it's at, what church it's at. And that puts such a bad taste in your mouth for that ministry, that church. You know how many times I've wanted to, you know, stand up and say something to them about it. But anyway, man, what's that church again? Because I'm never going to that church. He says here, watch this, whom ye shine as lights in the world. He reminds us, ye. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Then when he went back, he said, ye are the light of the world. In whom ye shine as lights in the world. Listen, complaining and negative people always bring darkness, but positive people who compliment always bring light wherever they are. It doesn't really matter. Wouldn't it be great if our church had a reputation that caused people to say, hey, oh, that crossroads, that's where all the positive people go to church. Those people always smiling. Wouldn't that be a horrible thing? Do you think that kind of church would be somewhere maybe an unbeliever would like to go? Check it out. Sure it would. What would your home be like if you stopped complaining, if you stopped being critical, if you stopped arguing back and forth and disputing with one another? What would your school be like, young person, if you got all the whiners and complainers out of there? What would your city be like if all the complainers moved? It'd be a little different, wouldn't it? Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Once again, Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Our words should be a source of sweetness. Our words should be a source of blessing. It ought to be encouragement to others. If we would resolve to always speak positive, pleasant words, we could replace complaining with compliments. Think about that. That's got somebody's attention. You could replace complaining with compliments. Here's what I'd like for you to do. You get a homework at this church. For the next 7 days, every single time you're tempted to complain about something, Replace your complaint with a compliment or something positive. You're going to go over there to Sally over there tomorrow to copy machine, and you know she ain't got the paper in there like she's supposed to have. See, now I tell you what, this copy machine sure looks good without paper. Boy, I tell you what. I mean, it looks a little better like that. I mean, hey, come up with a good compliment. I love rain. For the next seven days, every time you're going to complain, come up with a compliment, replace it with a compliment. Hey, you're going to be amazed at how much stress it removes from your life. Because we get so just aggravated, just right? It's going to remove so much stress from your life. You'll be amazed at how much better a person is going to make you. You'll be amazed at how many people actually want to be around you. You start doing that, you'll be amazed at the crowd. You won't be able to get away from the people. People like to be complimented. But if they know, man, here he comes. I know what this is going to be. You've got that person in your life right now. As soon as that phone rings, you know what it's going to be. That's why you don't answer it. That's all right. I know why you're not answering my calls. Hey, you know, you see them walking down the hall. They're coming this way. You can hear the footsteps. You know they're going to come complain about something. But how do we do it? The Christian life has no place for carnal lips. As we stand for prayer tonight, I want to pray, then the altar will be open. But I wonder tonight who here cares enough about their Christian life to come and ask God to help them. Always let their speech be seasoned with salt. You know, if the sweet psalmist of Israel, think about this. If the sweet psalmist of Israel was compelled to pray these words, Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If the sweet psalmist of Israel was compelled to pray that, how much more ought you and I? While we pray, Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to hearts. In Christ's name, amen.